What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki, check wiki, wiki.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Matthew.
What's your last name?
Not Joe Rogan. Not Rogan.
It's not Rogan because you're not Joe Rogan.
Jeez. We seem to be saying that often. I don't know why.
Well,
we just love the Joe Rogan show.
Maybe someday we'll talk about why that keeps coming up.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say maybe someday he's a guest or we're a guest.
Maybe someday you are going to be Joe Rogan.
That's weird. I don't know if I aspire for that. You like me.
All right. Not Joe Rogan, but Joe Fear. Welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast.
Is this a repurposed version of Joe Rogan? We're talking about content repurposing. I don't know. I'm trying to tie it in somehow.
Not Joe Rogan.
All right, so what are we talking about today, and who are we talking to?
Today, we're talking to Shayna Weisinger, mm-hmm. and she is from arepurposehouse.com.
Arepurposehouse.com? Repurpose House.
I said repurposehouse.com. Oh, okay. Why are you adding extra letters in there?
I don't know. Repurposehouse.com. I heard you wrong.
So what we're going to talk about on this episode is, wait for it.
No, well, let's not tell them because let's just open
repurposing.
Of what?
Of everything. We're going to talk about repurposing videos.
Of
repurposing
your dog? Of your cat?
Content.
Repurposing
of videos, repurposing of audios, repurposing of text content, all the various tools you can use to repurpose them, all the various platforms you can repurpose them.
You don't want to repurpose food. That would be weird.
Yeah.
I was just going down that vein still.
Okay. All right. Yes. Whatever is in your head.
Repurposing content.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. No, Shane is a badass and has a badass company that does this for a living. And yeah, it seems like, I don't know, the trends, our company is built upon repurposing and kind of always has.
Yeah. Well, if you've got content, you're not doing enough with it. I can just tell you that. We're not doing enough with it. With our own content, and I can almost guarantee anybody listening to this is not doing enough with it. If you got video, there's probably things that you're not thinking of that you can repurpose this video to drive more traffic and sales to your business. If you're doing blog posts, I guarantee there's ways to take those blog posts that you're not even thinking of right now to drive more traffic back to your site and drive more sales into your business.
Yeah. Yep. Even people who are repurposing like a mad person, definitely not doing enough.
Yeah,
so we're probably not on the right channels, the enough channels, or using those channels properly. And da, da, da. These are all the things we talk about with Shane.
We're gonna get tactical on this one, and we're gonna talk about some cool ninja strategies that you could use to get your content everywhere,
and the tools to use if you decide to do it yourself, which you totally can. And that's why Shane is awesome. She like literally opened up her tool stack of what her company Repurpose House uses, but she has her service over there that can save you a ton of time if you just like, I don't want to do it and I don't want to think about it, because it is a lot of work, but it's definitely worth it. Either way, just get it done.
Yeah.
Do some repurposing.
And we did take notes on this episode.
Of course we did.
If you go to hustleandflowchart.com/comp and you do it fairly soon when this episode goes live, you can grab access to the notes, and they're going to be...
It takes you like 2 seconds. Like just do it.
Yeah. hustleandflowchart.com. We will ask... .com/comp. We will ask for your email address. Sorry in advance. I know it's a...
Sorry.
High price to pay. Oh. That was sarcasm, dude.
Oh, okay. It was. Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. It don't be such a T-Rex. No, I'm just kidding.
Ooh. 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 Freebie seeker. Is that what you're trying to call me?
Yeah, a little bit.
I just like free stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like being a T-Rex, so I like to be epic instead.
You like to be epic. Yeah. If you become one of our epic members, that's kind of how we're rebranding our membership now. It is epic.
Commit
Evergreen Profits Insider Club. If you're one of our Insider Club members, not only will you get the notes for this episode and all the notes for all of our past episodes and future episodes, but Shayna, our guest today, actually contributed some bonus content just for members inside of our epic group.
Yeah, it's like a 20-minute long video of her going even deeper than this. I think it's a whole video tutorial type thing. And it's her in there. And so if you love this interview, which I know you will, because content repurposing is like one of the most common things that people say that they love about us and they want to learn more how to do it. Well, guess what? She's way better than us combined.
Yep.
So, in that epic membership, and it's like $15 a month or even $5 a month if you do the annual. It's like stupid cheap.
Yeah.
You get access to that video, that training, and there's a whole bunch of other cool resources in there.
Yeah.
That are always updated.
That's one of the things we don't really talk about with that epic membership too, is that It's not just content from us. We get our guests to come in and help contribute content and teach strategies even deeper from what they've taught on the show. So that is in there. That is the Epic membership. But if you go to hustleandflowchart.com/comp, you can get the notes from this episode for free. And after you opt in, we'll send you details on how you can become an Epic member. Definitely you should do it. Don't T-Rex us. Be Epic.
Mm-hmm.
And go grab it. hustleandflowchart.com/comp.
Do it. And then this episode is sponsored by our buddies over there at Ahrefs, of course, our go-to SEO tool.
Yeah.
And it's actually interesting because when you have more content out there, i.e. content repurposing, like we're talking about here, guess what?
It helps with SEO.
Yay!
It's actually, content repurposing is probably one of our favorite SEO strategies, to be honest.
Yeah, it's called referral traffic, and it's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
So, you can, I mean, we've talked about it a lot already on previous episodes about how you can use Ahrefs. There's literally hundreds and maybe thousands of ways. I don't know. They literally add new things on all the time. It's impossible to keep up with.
Yeah.
But they give you all these strategies.
So yeah, our last like 10 episodes in a row, we've given you actually step-by-step little strategies that you can go and use Ahrefs. Today, we're talking about content repurposing, which is a great SEO strategy. And Ahrefs can help you with that too in various ways. Find out what content to rank for, what keywords to go after, what stuff to repurpose, find out what keywords you're already ranking for.
What your competitors are doing, so you could backwards engineer that. And
well, if you go and find the stuff that you're already ranking well for, you can repurpose that content on other platforms because you know this is the content that's performing the best. And how are you going to find out what you're ranking well for? Well, go use Ahrefs. 7 days, $7. Boom. You're
bam.
In. Ahrefs.com. Go do it. It's $7, dude. Come on. Don't be a T-Rex.
Jenny, we're looking at you over there.
Jenny.
I know he said dude, but...
I call girls gals. Dude. I call my wife dude all the time.
It's called Shana dude, too.
Yeah.
So, Jenny, just go check it out. I know, I'm sure you want to be epic. And Ahrefs. I mean, it's your jam. Yeah. So, Jenny...
Just get on it, Jenny.
Come what
on.
Think?
We know.
Tom, you're next. Yeah. But today it's Jenny.
Jenny, if you're hearing this, Jenny, yes, we are talking to you. All right. Now, let's go talk to Shayna all about content repurposing.
Let's stop freaking people out. Thank you. Shayna, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Long time no talk.
I know, right?
I was on your podcast just, last week? The Content Coalition. Awesome video podcast, so slightly different than what we have going on right now, but that's cool.
Yeah, to see our gorgeous faces.
Yeah, that's awesome, and the fact that you're going to repurpose them everywhere is even better, so we'll see our faces everywhere.
Yeah,
all over the place.
Because we need more of that.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Well, sweet. Today, I think we're going to talk a lot about repurposing. I know that Joe and I are huge proponents of repurposing. We'll probably talk a little bit about what we're doing, but I'm really excited to hear what sort of things that you're doing with the whole repurposing world. But before we do, let's dive into your story a little bit and kind of get some background and how you kind of became an entrepreneur and what led you to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. You want me to just go for it, or do you have specific questions? You let me know how you want to rock this.
Let's go.
Yeah, you just go for it, and we'll find questions along the way, I'm sure.
Just go. That's a dangerous way to do it. Well, in 1983, it was a beautiful day in October.
It's a great way to start.
Yeah, right? I mean, we got time. So actually, my background is video production. So I went to school for film. I'm super into editing because that's where you get to be the biggest control freak, you know? Mm-hmm. You take the footage everybody else did, which I used to do, and then the editor is the one who has the final say, which was always a really cool thing for me. So video production was my passion. It's what I did. And as I was freelancing for a company, they were like a big shared workspace down in downtown Tempe, but they were also an incubator. And I was doing work for the business coach that coached a bunch of the incubees. And so as I was doing work for him, I started to pick up some work with some of the incubees. We did the Infusionsoft conference used to be in Phoenix. Yep. And we were over there. He had a booth. It's like, how do you make an awesome booth for like a business coach? Like, what do you do to draw attention? Yeah, right?
Boring.
Yeah. So, I was like, well, let's just make a spectacle out of it. Right. Let's just put a bunch of everybody wants to know what's going on when there's a bunch of cameras and lights. So let's make that whole thing happen. We were running around the whole time with like a quote unquote crew that was completely unnecessary, but the spectacle is really what made it awesome. And as we were filming a bunch of stuff, people kept coming up to me and they were like, listen, we are a business. We know we need video. We either, and like I kept hearing one of two stories out of everybody. It was, I spent way too much money on video and it didn't do anything, or they got a smoking deal and they got burned because, you know, everybody's brother has, you know, iMovie and a DSLR. So I realized quickly that this was something that needed to happen, like to mix strategy and to be able to create video that's like efficient. And also, like, what I was finding is, especially here where there are a lot of video production companies at that time that were just making video that they were told they needed to make, but they weren't really talking to like the marketing team, figuring out how to implement it in strategy, understanding that there are different stages in, you know, the audience journey to finally get to understand who you are and why you do what you do. Cause ultimately they don't care at the beginning. So they care about how you're going to help them, not how awesome you are. So, I started a video production company called Wake Brand Media, and that's all that it was. It was video production for digital strategy. And, out of that, I was really trying to preach to people to create the value-based content first. You know, obviously you need like the about me video and that kind of stuff, right? But you need to create content that you're going to be putting out into the world that people actually want to watch or listen to or read, right? Yeah. So that was one thing that I kept pushing. And in that, I started to do video podcasts for clients. So, you know, we just, it was like full inset, like they'd bring guests into studio, we would stack them like 4 to 5 a day or when they would come in. And one of the things that I was giving them as a part of the video package were these repurposed assets, like, you know, the square videos with the captions on them, you know, the headline, the whole deal. And as I was doing that, I was also promoting like the video podcast service to other potential clients, right? So I was talking to a lot of like really big hitting podcasters, and I was like, hey, listen, video podcasting's awesome, blah, 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 whatever. And they were like, yeah, no, we don't care about that. But what we do care about are all of these repurposed assets that you're creating. Like, if you just made those, we will throw our money at you. And I was like,
wow,
there's not a service that does this already. So I started to do some research, and I realized there's a lot of like do-it-yourself platforms that are awesome. Like, you've got your headliners, your wave.video, like you get tons of places that you can go on and do it yourself, but nobody was just doing it for people. Unless it was a part of like a full, like, oh, we do tons of marketing strategy and content and whatever. It just wasn't this one little thing.
And
so
that thing's on the side, kind of like, it's an ugly stepchild, black sheep.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But it, you know, it's a part of a bigger thing that they're offering and more of like an agency setup, right?
Yep.
And so I was like, well, wait a second. If this isn't something that exists and people keep talking about that one thing out of this bigger picture thing I'm pitching, then maybe this is something to really consider. So, so I had just been to the Philippines with a friend of mine with his company who I just adore. It's Design Pickle, and they're all Filipino-based workers. And I was there doing video production for them, and I was doing testimonial videos for their staff because they were having a hard time keeping up with recruiting because they grew so rapidly. And while I was interviewing all of these their employees, like, I was getting emotional because their stories were incredible about like, oh my gosh, I have full-time employment. I'm able to spend time with my kids and my family and my friends on nights and weekends. Work-life balance is something that they had never even considered being an option for them, you know? Healthcare, it was incredible. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to be able to create something that that is going to be scalable, like, Russ is a friend of mine, and he was like, listen, just, I created it with graphic design. If you can create something similar that fills a need that's out there, then go for it. And so it actually started, Repurpose House started as podcast memes.
I could see that. All right.
Yeah. So it was literally just tailored to podcasters. And that was a year ago. And as I was, no offense to the podcasters out there, but as I was, you know, trying to grow it for just podcasters, my director of ops and I were like beating our heads against the wall because we would have some people who were like, this is a no-brainer. Take my money. I don't care how much you charge me. And then we would have all of these other people who were like, no, like $200 a month is way out of budget, way out of scope. And there was just this massive disconnect in the people who would sign up and everybody else. So I started to really kind of look at what the common denominator was and the people who it was a no-brainer for, and realized that they were using podcasting as an arm of their digital marketing strategy. They were marketers.
Yep, so I was like,
well, wait a second. I know all of those guys. Let's do that. So then it it was like, rebrand, let's go. And we pulled out of just podcasting. And then we were like, well, if we're going to repurpose stuff, we're going to repurpose everything. So then it turned into like, okay, let's take blogs. Let's turn them into text motion. Let's take video. Let's take audio. Like anything you can fathom, we'll repurpose it and make it work for the marketing strategy. And that was actually even more exciting to me because then I got to nerd out really heavy on like best practices and like all the cool new stuff that's always evolving on social. So ever since then, it's just been madness.
That's awesome. So is it to this day, is it like a design pickle model where it's like a flat fee and you just get a bunch of repurposing? What does the business model look like today?
Yeah, it is literally like I sat with Russ and was like, FYI, I'm literally carbon copying what you did.
It works. Smart.
And he's fine with it. You know, he helped. So actually, yeah, it's a flat rate service. There's two different plans depending on which plan you're on. One of them is you submit by 5 p.m., you get all your stuff by 8 a.m., and it's a full ticket. So like it bases on tickets. So one plan is like every business day, you can get a full ticket repurposed, which is like one asset up to 2 minutes that we cut out, square size, IGTV size, YouTube size, thumbnails, and image quotes. And then the other plan is a little bit lower. It works really great for, you know, people who only want to repurpose podcasts, and it's one ticket per week. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And then we have like little add-ons where we'll actually have like a content curator go through your content for you, because that's a big need as well. People are like, I just don't have the time to go through an hour-long podcast episode I recorded, you know, 2 months ago. So we'll go ahead and do that for them too.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I love, that you did find this need. And I mean, you can just see how popular this is right now. I know this is one of the most common topics that get our audience's attention is content repurposing, but then the issue is, how do you do it? Then there's all these tools coming on the market, like you said, Headliner is one that we use for our short show, the Hustle and Flow Shorts show. But then there's time, you got to hire someone, then you got to figure out these tools because they're all seemingly easy, but then you get into it and you're like, oh man, now I got to dig through a podcast that's an hour long, like you said, or like learn all these processes. Then you got to distribute it. It's like, oh my God, okay, hold on. There's actually a lot of steps to this, or there can
be. And that's just it. People are like, oh, well, I can do this myself. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You can, because these platforms make it super easy. I actually have trained people how to use Headliner themselves. You know, I know Oliver and the guys over there, they're great. But ultimately, like, do you have time or bandwidth do that yourself, or do you want to train somebody to do that for you? When really you can just, for the same amount, have somebody who's like really, really great at that's all we do, and just do it.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I like that, because I came from a video production, I didn't go to school for it or anything. I kind of fell into producing a bunch of VSLs back in the day when launches were all hot, you know, all these gurus were launching their stuff. So I was able to create the slide presentations, turn them into a video. That's kind of, you know, Keynote plus ScreenFlow and some voiceover. Bam, mash, there's your VSL. And it was always the emotional connection. And that's where I really figured out copywriting and all that stuff. But I saw a lot of folks, like you were saying, they would just shoot video and then like pitch it and be like, or a VSL even. Just like, oh, okay, just put your freaking words on screen. And there's not really a thought pattern behind the emotional connection, the purpose behind the video. And it seemed like you had figured that out, because the reason why I got away from it is it got flooded with so many people trying to, you know, like you said, DSLR and iMovie, like legitimately that like drove down the prices. Demand was still high, but it caused a lot of confusion, I feel like. And
yeah, absolutely. Because they're like, well, it's just video, you know, like, if I can get video anywhere. I'm like, yeah, you can get video anywhere, but can you get your message across the way that it's going to be effective? And that's a huge difference.
Yeah. And so what do you do with these repurposed assets? Are you helping folks with that, like when you go to the creation stage, or do you help them with like, okay, well, here's where you should place it in your funnel or some platforms? Do you have like a strategy behind all that?
You know, so we end our service at here's your assets. Mm-hmm. Go fly, birdie, fly, right? But we're always like doing continuing education. So we have like client webinars where it's like, hey, here's some funky stuff that's going on in Instagram, Facebook, you know, LinkedIn. We as a team try to keep up with, you know, what's working really well, the new trends, things like that. So we try to consistently educate so that people are utilizing them and seeing results. Ultimately, they have to see results with the assets or they're not going to be continuously repurposing. So, we can help with like best practices and strategy initially, but we don't really like help maintain that unless people are wanting to learn more and are asking a lot of questions.
Gotcha. Now let's, okay, I want to kind of get into some of like the repurposing strategies and ways things can be repurposed, and maybe we can just like go sort of medium by medium and talk about like maybe video content, audio content, written content, and the various ways to repurpose all of them. You know, Joe and I, we're huge on repurposing, and I'm sure there's all sorts of blind spots that we haven't even thought of. So I'm like really anxious to get into this topic. I'm excited about it. But let's start with like video. Let's say that you're somebody that does fairly consistent videos and you put them on YouTube and you put them on your blog. You know, what else can we do with those videos?
Oh man, there's so much you can do. And what's funny to me is people don't even realize some of the video that they already have that still can be repurposed. Cause you know, there's the videos for your blog. There's obviously like there's speaking engagements. You can repurpose webinars. You can, if you have courses, you can take like tiny snippets out of your courses to promote courses and repurpose those and give yourself, you know, some validity. I mean, there's so many different things that you can repurpose when it comes to video that like really it's just finding up to 2 minutes, like best practice, you know, and then being able to post them on Instagram. Think about just one 2 minute clip that you can pull out of like a speaking engagement, right? Mm-hmm. You can take that one little 2 minute clip I'm sure it was super impactful because you said something epic, and we're going to throw a cool headline on it that piques interest or asks a question that somebody wants to know the answer to. And now you can have that piece of content repurposed, you know, according to size and, you know, best practices for each platform. But Facebook feeds, Facebook stories, you can post that on IGTV and then publish that to the feed and preview it there. Like Instagram stories, LinkedIn's a massive platform now. And then you've got YouTube, like also making sure that you're posting the smaller clips to YouTube, because somebody may not, like if you have an hour long speaking engagement you put on YouTube and people are searching for something very specific, maybe a specific 2 minute topic you talked about in there, that whole video is probably not going to pull up if it's like searched on that term. But if you're able to put like smaller pieces of content through there that are biteable, you may get better chances of actually being populated when somebody's searching for something that you spoke about specifically. So I'm a big proponent of like, do it as much as you can and take as many pieces out of each. Like if you had an hour long speaking engagement, I hope you said at least a handful of awesome 2 minute bites. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm like, I see that stuff and I see repurposing gold. Cause if you said it one time in a really awesome way, you may as well take each of those snippets and then consistently put them into your marketing strategy. And now out of the 1 hour long thing you just, you know, committed time to, you probably have like a post a week for each platform for at least a couple of months. And then you rotate that through with your other stuff, you know?
I'm just reminding me now, because I actually woke up today, or, you know, the first thing when I opened up Facebook, Matt and it was Josh Felber, we were on this podcast Making Bank, and Matt and I were tagged in like 15 clips or so, and or images, but it was amazing because it's all repurposed assets. And I don't know what service he's using or whatever he's doing himself, doesn't really matter, but the fact that that was that in action. We did a video podcast with him at Traffic and Conversion, and it was like a 30-minute conversation, but that guy clipped it in so many different forms. And this reminds me of even like our War Room talk, Matt, the podcast talk that we did. It's an hour long, and like Shannon, you're saying it right now. I'm like, dear God, we haven't even like we published it behind a big paywall for our accelerator members, for podcast people, but like we could totally clip out little 2 minute things.
And then
you can post one other way that I tell people to do it. Like say, for instance, it was a video that was on like a blog post, right? And it's like 10 minutes. You can take up to a really like an impactful minute of that and then put that on the social media channels and direct people back to the blog post. What I find so frustrating is that people are only wanting to repurpose, not people, most people only want to repurpose assets that are new. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if you had a blog post that every time somebody hits it, like they're opting in because it does that well, consistently push that piece of content with new, fresh, repurposed assets. Like we have one client who they use HubSpot, they track everything and all they are content powerhouses. And they like their opt-ins to blog posts that did really well way back in the day that we are now repurposing, like opt-in skyrocketed because people, they're reaching new audiences with this content. They're teasing it the right way that it needs to be on social. And the call to action is to go to the existing blog post where you get your pop-up on the site and you're actually generating leads. So it's not just brand awareness. It's, there's so many different ways you can utilize it to actually see a difference in your business.
Yep. Yeah. And you could create, yeah, these Facebook ads for that if you want. You know, maybe it's a, like you said, 2 minute long video talking about here are the seven top blah, blah, blah things. Mm-hmm. And you lead them to a piece of content, or you can, you know, like how we do it. If it's a cold traffic audience, a cold interest, then, you know, you retarget anybody that watches that video.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you got a warmer audience, and you could do that purely through repurposed assets like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's one thing we actually sort of run into with this podcast specifically is, you know, we've been doing this for several years now, and we're about to have our 200th episode come out in a couple weeks here. Well, by the time this came out, this episode's out, episode 200 will have passed. So, yeah.
Hey, congratulations. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, thank you very much.
Felt great. Such a good episode. Yeah.
So we're over 200 episodes now. And that seems to be one of the issues that we run into is, I mean, episode 7 still has gold in it, but it doesn't get much love anymore. So let's switch to the sort of next topic of audio content. Mm. What are some of the all the different ways we can repurpose audio content?
I mean, that it's honestly, it's like copy, repeat. That's it. Like, yeah. It's the same deal. Take the snippets. Like, you guys have an hour long show. You can go back and pull so many pieces of content out of every single episode guaranteed and just continuously drive traffic and get new listeners to your earlier episodes. Like, one thing that I hear a lot of podcasters say sometimes is that, like, they're like, well, everybody already heard that episode from way back when. I'm like, everybody already heard it?
BS, BS.
It's a real arrogant statement, A. But B, like, you know, you may have new listeners that started at episode, you know, 200, but, you know, episode 74 was killer. Like, send them back to that, because a lot of people aren't going to really, like, go scroll through the archives, you know, right. Bring it back to their attention. Also, like, you can hit new audiences if you had really impactful guests. If you had Gary Vee on your podcast, like, a year ago, whatever, everything he says is repurposed and relevant today. So, I mean, he does it. He's the master at doing it. So go back to those episodes, grab a bunch of chunks out of it, throw them all over social media consistently, and then get new listeners based on people whose audiences have probably grown since then, or that just they never even engaged with your podcast because maybe you weren't repurposing them at that time.
Yeah, I love that because I mean, we see it all the time is a new subscriber typically will see it like, oh, they're downloading all the previous episodes now. And yeah. It's like, yeah, there's so much content out there. And where do you have a process for like a content audit? Like if you have all this old stuff, do you have a way that you coach people or maybe you do it for them, like where you can like, okay, like let's maybe start with this content piece or, you know, sync it up with this audience. Maybe there's the most opportunity with this one that you're sitting on for like a year or so. You just didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. So it's generally on like a client by client basis because everybody's content is so unique and their audiences are so unique. And then how they outreach and what channels they use are very different. So, I will typically have them, there's like a form that we send them and it's like literally every type of content you can think of that you've created and guaranteed they exclude about 30% of it because people don't realize that certain content types can be repurposed, like courses. Like they're like, oh, I made this course, I sell it, whatever. I'm like, yeah, but there's content there that you can use to tease the course to then bring people to purchase your course. So we'll obviously like kind of get the top level stuff out of it. And then it turns into like a deeper dive once we've done some of our research and actually connect with them of like, you know, what type of content can we, the blog posts to me are funny because people don't even think about how they can turn that into something that works on social media. I'm like, those are the best. The Textmotion video stuff. And people just assume that it's like, okay, you post the link and I guess that's over. And that's crazy because there's so much more you can do. But yeah, I mean, the process is, like I said, unique to every single client. But what's cool about it is so often I get to see people's eyes light up because they didn't realize exactly how much potential they had sitting in things that they already spent time and money creating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things we're actually doing with this podcast right now, you mentioned, you know, these are hour long episodes. We actually have a second podcast called Hustle and Flow Shorts. And we actually hired somebody to listen back to all of our old episodes and clip out little 5 to 10 minute, just like little gold nuggets. And so every single day now, we have a daily podcast where a little like 5 to 10 minute gold nugget from past episodes is released. And that's kind of one of the ways we bring past podcast episodes back to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. Joe was talking about that when we chatted last week, and I thought that was super genius. Like, I obviously specialize in repurposing for social, but we like there's so many ways that you can take content and do it even, you know, further than that. And you guys are totally, I love that you created a whole new show that's now daily over things that you don't have to even touch anymore. That's incredible.
Oh yeah. We forget we even have the show until we talk about content repurposing. We're like, oh yeah.
Well, quite honestly, our entire business model is based on repurposing of a podcast. Mm-hmm. Because essentially our biggest revenue driver for our business is we've got what we call our epic vault, which is Evergreen Profits Insider Club. And it's basically we hired somebody to take notes on every single episode, and the notes that they take you get access to if you're a member of our Insiders Club. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right. That is our business model, is we record interviews. That's the free content that we put out. If you want to get the sort of Cliff's Notes versions, that's what we sell to people. And then to get people sort of discovering older episodes and getting additional content from us, we have our shorts show. And that's kind of the business model in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Let's virtually high five right now, because that is awesome.
No, it's so true. And we... I don't know. I feel like we've always stumbled. It wasn't like methodically thought out. It definitely like different opportunities arise. I think we realized it with the audio. Like, we love podcasting because it's so easy to create the content. And like you said, we're sitting on all this content and we're like, dude, there's got to be a way to leverage this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because we saw it was so popular. And yeah, and it wasn't until systems and figuring out the right tools and processes there to actually make it happen.
That's a great, like, you brought up a really great point. It's systems, processes, and tools. That's where people get really caught up and are unable to really be effective in repurposing content. Mm-hmm. I mean, in, you know, business in general, but let's be honest, like, if you don't have systems and processes dialed in and how to repurpose your content, then it's going to feel like a nightmare, because you're going to be constantly swimming in just like going through one piece of content to find one clip. Like, I actually created a document and like a little training on how to effectively go through your previous content without like it taking an eternity. So that is something to me that like I'm super passionate about. Like, if you're gonna do it, have great processes that streamline it, make sure it's efficient, get the right people in there to do it. That you totally just nailed something on the head that I'm really passionate about.
I'm curious, can we touch on that for a second? What are some of the processes that you teach people to do to kind of sort and sift through all the backlogs of content?
Yeah. So one thing that I find incredible that people will do is they'll go through, like, they'll say, okay, I need a piece of repurposed content. And they'll go to, I don't know, one of their podcast episodes and find one clip. And then that's their repurposed asset. And that's it. And then they move forward with like repurposing it and doing the whole thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're already in that piece of content. Just sit there, bear it out. And if it's you or like a VA or whoever's doing it, go through the whole episode, get an Excel sheet out, put like the link to the content, and then start doing your in and out clips. Like, okay, this was something impactful that was said. Here's a headline that can go to that. One or two headlines that may make sense. And then move on to the next one and get through the whole piece of content. So you have all of those clips somewhere. And then, you know, like when you have to go back and find another piece of content to repurpose, you can go back to the stuff that you've already gone through and not have to actually like go through the entire piece of content again to find something. So that's where I'm like, obviously, like at the beginning, it's kind of labor intensive. But like, if you do it right, within the first like month or so, all you have is just everything's already sorted through. Everything already has the clips. It's got the headlines. And then it just turns into, okay, we can take those now and just have them repurposed. Or like, you go into Headliner and make your audiogram or whatever it is. But you don't have to actually go through the content as heavily as you would if you're consistently just like, okay, well, what else can I repurpose today? You know, just get through every piece, know that you have a well of snippets that you can choose from, and then move on.
Yeah. And that's exactly why we hired the guy on our team, Jacob, to run our show. He started off as an apprentice actually from Gen M, which is really cool. So it's nice. Like, yeah, I mean, you can literally use an intern or VA, like you were saying, And I heard you kind of say it quickly. You're like, oh, bear through your episode. Like, I don't like listening back to our own episodes. I know there's just like a wealth of knowledge in there, but that's why we like to read the notes, because everything's right. been like done for us. But we, so we have a note taker that's not us, and we have someone else that's not us to clip out the best of clips. And I think it does help. I mean, obviously, we could totally bear it out if we wanted to. But like you said, that's kind of the process, is we have other folks on our team that do that. What you just said is like mark the in clip, like the beginning of a clip and the out of that clip, the end of it. And from there, like I think in Headliner, you can kind of even like tag those things if you wanted to use that tool and save them for later. So it's not like you have to like repurpose everything at once.
Yeah. And a really ninja tool that we use for podcast editing and like finding those little clips is a tool called Descript. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. Like basically you can upload an audio file into this tool and it will transcribe the entire audio file, and then you actually edit the transcription to edit the audio. So I can literally do like a text search on the transcript to find the section of the audio that I want to clip out, and then essentially highlight the 5-minute section and clip it out into its own clip. And we just repurposed an hour audio and do like a 10-minute clip.
Yeah, I remember I saw them at Podcast Movement last year when I was there like unveiling podcast memes, and I walked up and I saw what they were doing, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yes, it is so cool.
Yeah.
I haven't used it, but I'm glad to hear that it's as amazing as it looked when I was standing there.
No, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, the transcriptions are all, you know, they're all AI transcriptions, so it won't get all the words 100% perfect, but you can, you know, you can sift through it to find what you're looking for pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great.
Yeah.
So now with written content, you mentioned, you know, the written content's one of your favorite things to repurpose because people love the text on screen videos. Can you touch on that? I didn't catch what you meant by like the types of videos that these can be repurposed into.
Yeah. So again, I'm talking social specifically, but you can take up to 100 words of your blog post. Every blog post is going to have a section of 100 words that's impactful. At least it should, right? Uh-huh. And if it's not, then maybe you need to adjust your blogging. But you can take up to 100 words and turn it into a little text motion video. Wave.video is an awesome platform to do it on. I don't know what their pricing is right now. I can't be like, oh, it's free. Go do it. But you know, sometimes good things cost money. But anyway, you can take up to 100 words, make a really impactful video that has like, you know, they get animated in, they get animated out. You can use these like stock videos, stock imagery. You can put music behind it. And now it's like one of those like BuzzFeed videos or the Goalcast videos that people stop and on scroll. Mm-hmm. And like, we'll still put like a headline on something like that, so people know what they're getting themselves into before they, you know, engage the content on social. But you can take up to 100 words. That usually equals about 90-ish seconds, depending on how you edit it. Mm-hmm. And you can, again, post it on feeds, post it on IGTV, preview that to your, LinkedIn. You can now put that piece of content anywhere that makes sense. And then the call to action can be, you know, to read the full blog post, go to, you know, shorten bit.ly link here. Obviously, you know, depending on what platform you're in, you don't want to put the link in the description or whatever. But, you know, on our templates for clients, we'll know if they want a CTA on every single piece of content. We'll actually burn it onto the file. So if it's a shortened bit.ly link, it'll be like, you know, bit.ly/awesome podcast. And then it's easy to find so that we're not putting a clickable link in the description and, you know, messing with their audience views.
Got it. So is that when you say burn it on, that's like the bottom lower third of a video or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Usually it'll end up on like the bottom right corner or something like, and our call to action, like to watch whole episode, go to whatever, you know, and then obviously like, oh, link in comments or wherever. So, but it's just another place for them to see that there's more that they can engage in if they like that piece of content.
Got it. Yep.
So is Wave.video, is that similar to Lumen 5? Have you used that before?
So when I first started, because I tested all of these platforms to see if they could work in our process. Lumen 5 was great. I haven't used it in a really long time though, so I'm not sure now, but for Wave.video was similar at the time. It's gotten a lot better, but essentially it's like really, really user-friendly video editing software, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you type in your words, you say, like, it's cool because if you have multiple brands, you can say, here's my brand colors for company A. Here's my fonts for company A, whatever.
Oh, wow.
And then you can add multiple brands within Wave.video. So if your podcast is like different colors than your personal brand, that's different colors in your business, you can have 3 different profiles and just click that and start from scratch. And then everything's already pre-populated. So all you have to do is just type in the words, like, pick what types of transitions you want, pick your background video or imagery, and you're off to the races.
That's rad.
That is really cool.
Okay. Yeah, man, my head's going all over the place. We have so much content. I'm like, we just need to hire you.
So with the text, like written blog content, are there any other places that you go and take it and repurpose it just as text content?
Yeah, I mean, LinkedIn articles, I'll definitely do that. We have like our own resource center also for our clients. I'm so big on video that like that's where my main focus is always. So I am happy to find out any other way that we can, utilize our blog posts more than we already do. But like the main ones for us is, LinkedIn articles, the actual blog.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, we try to repurpose so much stuff that like my brain starts to explode a little bit on like all the possibilities, right? So but totally open to suggestion on that. Is there any ways that you've heard that have been unique that people are doing that?
Well, I mean, there's a handful of stuff that we've experimented with over the years. I mean, video totally makes sense because video can be turned into audio and text easier than text can be turned into audio or video, or it's just the easiest genesis of a piece of content, I guess. But I guess with written content, some of the stuff that we've had fun with is we use a tool called Designer, which will convert your blog post into a PDF file. And so we've used that PDF file. So we've basically taken a blog post, convert it to a PDF like almost instantly, and then take that PDF and put it on SlideShare and Speaker Deck and Issue. And there's like, a list of like, we have a list in one of our courses of like 50 different platforms that you can repurpose a PDF to. And some of those really, really, really rank well. Putting a PDF on SlideShare, a lot of times we're able to rank that for things that we couldn't get our original blog post to link to. But then, we link throughout the PDF over to the original blog post and complimentary content to try to get people back to our site. So that's one. We used to repost a lot of our content back over to Medium.
Medium, yeah.
And LinkedIn Pulse were the two. We never really got a lot of traction out of LinkedIn Pulse, though.
No, and Medium has changed since we were doing that.
Yeah, now Medium has a new business model where they lock down their content after like you read three articles or something ridiculous. And I know a lot of people got real frustrated because they were taking a lot of their free content, posting it to Medium. Now Medium's charging for that content. And the people who created the content had no say over it. So,
fun business model.
Yeah. Reddit, we've repurposed things over there.
Yeah. Reddit's been really big lately, actually.
Reddit's great. Quora is good as well. For answering questions, there's usually a lot of different topics that we've covered already in a podcast somewhere on a blog post. So it's like more or less we can have a VA or ourselves either copy and paste something over or at least get the general idea.
Yeah.
So you don't have to rethink it all through. And just doing all those things consistently, like just be like one of those things a day. You can totally do that. Like we've had folks on the podcast here, Robert Farrington. He said like one of his only models is just go to Reddit and Quora every single day.
Yeah. Find questions you can answer and then use your blog posts as the source.
Right. And that's like his massive driver of traffic, SEO. Yeah.
Wow.
So in referral traffic. So yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. I keep hearing you say LinkedIn for like a ton of things, and that's like the one space that we're not really playing in.
Yeah.
And what?
I know.
Well, we're starting to more actually, but
I just did an interview with a guy yesterday who is kind of piping me some information. So I'm like, please teach me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just so, LinkedIn is Facebook before they started to just diminish your audience. So like your reach is so massive organically right now that to not utilize it while it's still like that, I feel like is unfortunate. So dude, just start throwing content there as much as you can. And, it's funny because everybody has all their little strategies on how they get more views.
Right.
And that. So like there's some things I'm seeing that I'm like, ugh, like everybody tagging 1,000 people in the comments of the 85th comment on that video with 94,000 people tagged in it to get engagement and stuff. So it's tough to like filter through some of those strategies because I just like, I can't.
Yeah.
But I get that they're a strategy to get LinkedIn to show your post to more people. But I'm a big fan of it because my audience is B2B also. So I've always lived there, especially when I started Wake Brand Media. Most of my, the vast majority of my business came from LinkedIn. So I've been there for a while.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a great platform to be on now until they, of course, monetize it heavily and make it difficult to reach anybody without spending So yeah. We'll see.
So what are some organic strategies that you would recommend? Some like very basic fundamentals for people that haven't really dove deep into it like us.
Yeah. Again, it's the same. It's honestly, it's the same just as Facebook. How it was for Facebook. You know what I mean? Just take that, what you did 5 years ago for them, and do it on LinkedIn.
Yeah. I can't think back that far. No,
well, I've heard specifically that video is working really well on LinkedIn, yes. Like specific to video.
True.
You know, like when we go on LinkedIn and sort of link to podcast episodes or link to blog posts, a lot of times when we just share a link, it just kind of nothing ever happens. You might get like 2 likes on it and it just kind of disappears. So I do think there's something in LinkedIn's algorithm where the links don't get quite as much traction as content that you specifically post to LinkedIn, like videos or LinkedIn Pulse content. So do you post stuff just straight to your feed, or do you post it on LinkedIn Pulse?
Just straight to the feed. So I go into the feed, and it's usually video because that's kind of the space that I live in. And all the same rules apply. Captions. I mean, people think that that LinkedIn, for some reason, because they're business people, are going to watch videos like normal people and with the sound on, and they don't. It's 80% of people are still scrolling and like watching videos on mute. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all the same rules apply. Captions, headlines, the whole deal, really engaging copy, stuff like that. But, you know, again, value add. And also, like, the nice thing about LinkedIn is that being able to go through posts and comment and engage with people on that platform is really, really easy. So for me, it's like, if you can get into topics that actually speak to your expertise and answer questions and just engage a lot as a community, as opposed to just posting content and being like, here you go, world, and expecting mm-hmm. people to care, you know, I feel like that's just relationship building in general, I guess. But sometimes we all need to be reminded that you need to engage personally as well.
Yeah.
That I think that you're in good shape to at least, you know, set yourself up for some engagement from people that are actually in your audience that you want to be talking to. But video, of course, like they just introduced Facebook or LinkedIn Live, which is
really
funny and cool. Yeah. I'll get notifications. One of my friends / clients, he was one of the first ones to be able to test that. So it's interesting because I feel like LinkedIn's behind on a lot of stuff in general, but like then they go off and do something like LinkedIn Live. I'm like, well, how about we fix this and this first, right? And then maybe do it, you know, live. But whatever, you guys do you.
Yeah. So. No, I was on there the other day and I noticed that, like, oh, there's now heart reactions and like smiley faces. Yes. And like all these different things than just a like. I was like, oh, they are becoming Facebook-y.
Yes. Yeah, no, they're definitely copying somebody, that's for sure. So that's why I'm like, get in while you can before it gets, you know, super heavy on the ad spend. So
sure. No, that's brilliant.
Are you doing stuff with LinkedIn ads at all?
No, not yet. They're so expensive. And it's like, we've been focusing really, really heavily on like user experience and just really streamlining our processes on the back end. So we're just kind of keeping our heads above water on, you know, ads and stuff like that. But definitely like Q4 is where we're going to start really diving into testing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. a bunch of different platforms. And LinkedIn's one of the first ones I really want to dive into. I've got some buddies who are well-versed in that. So I'm excited to play in that space. But, if you guys have you guys done a bunch of advertising on LinkedIn at all, or are you new to that too?
None whatsoever.
None. Yeah, we've had some friends though. We've definitely had friends say that the inbox ads, whatever they're called, in mail, I think it is. Those things, right. I think, are the most effective. And that's right. It was Josh Turner. We had him on the podcast. So if anyone's interested, there's notes and all that stuff on that guy. But Josh Turner was saying the in-mail ads are like the most cost-effective ads. They're pretty dang cheap in relative, I'm sure.
Relative to everything else that's on LinkedIn. I don't think they're cheap. But,
but either way, he said they're super targeted, and you can pretty much target any possible interest you can think of. Again, like Facebook used to be.
Yeah.
right. Well, what I think is so cool about LinkedIn is that you can target based on, you know, actual job, like title, mm-hmm. industry, businesses. I mean, so the targeting is crazy on LinkedIn. So I mean, I'm excited to dive into it like that. But the thing is, when you're going to go ahead and do something like in mail, you better make sure your messaging is on point, because you can turn people off real quick with that too. So I'm curious to see, does he talk about strategy on like what to put in the messaging, or is he just talking about how it's actually really effective because of targeting?
I forget all those details.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we talked about like what the structure of the messages need to be.
More or less. Yeah. But he did. It wasn't like a deep topic on there, which I'm like, oh, that's usually a sign. Like, oh, this must be working really well.
Yeah.
He mentioned it. He's like, this is the place to be. And I was like, yeah, today, let's
this
talk
about this stuff's working too good, so let's not talk about this. No, he did. He didn't do that.
But. No, he didn't say that. Cool. Yeah, LinkedIn, we'll definitely get on it. There's been way too many reminders and people talking about it to not focus on it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Instagram for a second, because Instagram for us has been something we've really, really, really tried hard at. We've hired a couple different people over the last, I don't know, 6-9 months to help us with our Instagram presence. And it's just something we've never managed to get much traction out of. And it may just be our approach. You know, we're trying to drive traffic back to our website, back to our podcast, and we've never really managed to get Instagram to be any sort of traffic driver for us. So let's talk about that. Like, how do we use some of this repurposed content to, you know, with Instagram to get some positive effects on our business? Maybe it is driving traffic back to our site. Maybe it's keeping them on Instagram. But, you know, what's your sort of take on it?
You know, if in full transparency, I wish I had awesome answers for you on this one, but you are in the same boat as so many other people that they're like, we don't even know how to get traction on Instagram, like to make it worth the effort that you put into it. So, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat with you. I know best practices on how the algorithm's working. So like posting to IGTV and previewing to your feed is doing way better on engagement than posting to the actual feed is. Mm-hmm. So that's like a happy tip. The 7 hashtags is obviously working better than anything else. You put 7 hashtags and load that onto IGTV and preview it, then you're in great shape for more engagement. That's for sure. And, you know, and that's being also reiterated by a bunch of our clients who are doing some, actually War Room is one of them, where he's like, that's like, dude, IGTV is crushing it for us.
There you go.
We have a couple other ones that are saying the same stuff. So I'm like, okay, that's awesome, because it's not just like, I feel like I'm getting more engagement because of this one thing. So many people are saying it. So I know that they're trying to push that platform or that part of their platform pretty heavily, which is cool because it also allows you to have longer form content, which if people are engaging with that, then they're probably more interested. So you probably have more of a chance to drive them to wherever it is you want them to land at, you know, eventually. Yeah. But as far as like, here's the most epic Instagram strategy ever, I wish I could help you. And when you find somebody who can say that, let me know, because I'm going to listen.
Yeah, no, just the fact that you said that already, like you're just... You know, the whole tagging thing, the IGTV live preview.
Oh, that's just gold to us right there. We're not doing that.
Right. And I don't think most people know.
I'm glad I can help some
way. Yeah, you are. And that's where it's like a common thing. I'm thinking LinkedIn. Okay, well, there's ways that you can leverage this platform that's growing right now. And they're giving us the ability to get reach. And, you know, maybe Instagram, that's the reach. That's the opportunity on that specific platform. I know on Facebook, you can get really good reach. You have to pay for it. But like with video views.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the reach there. So it's almost like if you could pinpoint all these little gaps in the platforms, you're doing yourself pretty good favors.
Well, I also think too, there's direct response marketing, and there's like, you know, sort of more branding, publicity marketing, just trying to raise awareness. And I think Instagram is probably a lot better at being that sort of branding, raise awareness, indoctrinate people to you, get them to know, like, and trust you. It's probably better at that than it is the direct response. And I think so many people are out there going, how do I make Instagram a direct response marketing platform? Which some people have figured it out, but I think for most, you need to be looking at Instagram on the branding side of it. How do I get people, how do I build that know, like, and trust factor so that when they see my retargeting ad over here on Facebook, they're ready to buy because they've been seeing me on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
100%. And that's kind of how we've looked at that platform. So like our strategy is not like post the same repurposed asset on all of the different platforms all at once, right? Like we'll take one snippet from the podcast, and we will put that one snippet on like Facebook on Monday. We'll put it on LinkedIn on Tuesday. We'll put it on IGTV on Wednesday. And then we'll just make sure that they kind of drip, so people aren't just seeing it on one platform. They're actually able to see that piece of content in different, on different platforms. And sometimes depending on the platform, people are in a different frame of mind also. Like I know my brain is a little bit different in LinkedIn than it is on Instagram, because LinkedIn for me is like business, business, business. And then Instagram, while it's still business, obviously I'm in this field, it's just more visual. I'm just in a different kind of headspace. So like taking that same piece of repurposed content, posting it on all the platforms, staggering it, and then also adjusting the copy to match the platform can engage people who maybe they weren't engaged on Facebook because it didn't really resonate with them while they were on that platform and what the copy said. But maybe when they're on LinkedIn scrolling on Thursday, for some reason it speaks to them a little bit differently and then they're watching it. So like, and then the Instagram thing kind of out, like what you were saying, okay, they're just seeing me again. You know, they're seeing that we're consistently giving content, you know, it's just another place to pop up if they're following us there. So that's kind of how we've been using it, is just to kind of reinforce the message of what we're bringing to the other platforms too.
Yeah. And I imagine, you know, not everybody's on every platform too. So if your focus is solely on Facebook, and you know, your ideal client may, you know, some of your ideal clients are on Instagram, cater to them both, because some people are only looking at Instagram and never logging into Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Any tips on YouTube? We haven't really touched on that since you're video focused.
YouTube for me is just underutilized because everybody thinks that if they post something on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, then they're done.
Yeah,
you know? Exactly. And for me, I'm like, the fact that you're not posting to YouTube is like, that to me is like, takes it back to the old school mentality of like, if people search in Google for something, you're going to populate on either Google or on YouTube. So put your content on YouTube, make sure that it's got the captions in it so that all of the words are searchable, and just consistently keep posting that stuff to the platform. Like whatever you post on Facebook, put on YouTube. Whatever you post on LinkedIn, video wise, obviously post on YouTube, just post. It doesn't hurt anybody. If if your site is linked, it's going to help that rank too. Obviously putting it into your blogs. Like I just think that it's something that's so underutilized to a lot of people because they just worry about the social media aspect where it's like, dude, go get search.
Yeah.
Come on.
Be everywhere.
If I'm looking for like a how-to XYZ video, I'm not going to Facebook and typing it in. I'm going to Google or YouTube and typing it in.
Yep.
So I get to be a source of knowledge for people when they're actually actively searching for something, not when they're passively scrolling. To me, that's super impactful.
Yeah. It's intent-based search, YouTube, whereas the other one's just passive. Totally. Oh, this looks interesting. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they both serve a purpose, but yeah, be everywhere.
Right. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Any other social networks we didn't touch on that you think are just like, dude, you got to be there? Maybe it's something we haven't heard of.
TikTok?
TikTok.
Ooh.
I'm kidding.
I've heard of TikTok. I think I might be a little aged out on TikTok, though. I don't get it. I'm the grumpy old man. I just don't get it.
I know. And it's funny because I was just on a LinkedIn strand, actually, where somebody had posed a question of like, what platforms are agencies like getting great engagement or results for their clients? And like so many people were like, TikTok. I was like, stop it right now. But I mean, obviously, it depends on what audience you're catering to, because I feel like that's a much younger audience. But my mind was blown. Like, so many people were talking about TikTok, and I was like, I can't. I feel so old right now. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't actually paid attention to Gary Vee super recently, but if I had to guess, I'd bet Gary Vee is probably talking about TikTok right now.
Sure he is.
Probably. Joe, was it you that I was talking to somebody like last week, and they were like, Gary Vee just says he has videos saying that every platform is going to work, and then when they do work, the guys just go back and pull that piece, and then he's like, I'm the oracle of all things.
Oh, no, that was not me, but that sounds like something he would do.
Yeah,
and then the ones that like never made it, they just like leave in the vault.
Yeah,
it's pretty brilliant. Well, it's like, look, I'm predicting the future left and right.
Right.
Because at one point he was really talking up like Periscope and stuff like that, and I don't even know if that's, is Periscope even around anymore, or Meerkat, like those ones.
Meerkat was one that he was bullish.
It was Meerkat that he was really big on for a little bit.
And a Vine for a while too. Like, yeah.
Who knows? He just doubles down on everything, and eventually something's going to hit. You know what I mean? So then that's the stuff he's going to repurpose every single day.
That's so true.
And the mystery is he has a team to help him double down.
That's true.
Like, yeah, it's not like him trying to. People. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we're, the social media platform that nobody's really talking about much that we're most excited about is probably Reddit. I really feel like Reddit's been around for a long time, but I really feel like it's getting close to being a very mainstream social media platform. platform because it really ranges all age groups and all topics and all niches. And the ad targeting in there is just awesome because you target followers of subreddits. So if somebody follows the subreddit podcasts or podcasting or how to podcast, those are all subreddits on Instagram or on Reddit. I can go and create an ad that says, hey, if you love podcasting, come check out this blog post and, you know, drive them over to content around podcasting. And I'm very, very bullish on that platform right now.
Because of you, Matt, and because of us doing this, my wife is in the wedding space and she's running ads right now. And she actually showed me her ad. She's not a graphic designer at all. Mm-hmm. And she used, I don't know, Paint or MS Paint. No, she doesn't have a Mac. All right, she has a Mac. But the equivalent, it looks like shit, the ad. And she's getting, I think she said around 10 cent clicks or something.
Super cheap.
And it's super targeted. Those are clicks, not impressions. And I'm just like, wait, what? And she's like, should I tweak? I'm like, no, don't touch it.
Yeah.
Let it go. It's working.
Well, the other thing that you can do on Reddit, too, is you can have your own subreddit. So we actually have a subreddit called Hustle and Flowchart. And every single episode gets reposted over to Reddit after the episode goes live, and we can actually have discussions about these episodes over on Reddit. So we're actually building essentially like a secondary RSS feed for our podcast, but for people who are on Reddit, and it'll show up in their Reddit news feed every time a new episode goes live.
Oh my gosh. See, I don't know anything about Reddit. And so it pops up here and there and I'm like, yeah, okay. But to hear you like go super like crazy about it, it's like I know I need to look into it. I'm unfortunately a creature of habit, which is not super helpful in the field that I work in, so it's like trying new things is a little scary for me sometimes, but I mean from everything you guys are saying, I'm gonna have to check it out. I don't even know how it works. So if all I know is that every once in a while I'll be on like one of those BuzzFeed lists and it's like a screenshot from Reddit and they're saying something hilarious. That's like the extent of my knowledge of that platform. Hey, so I'm excited to go check it out.
All the best memes start at Reddit.
Yeah,
pretty much. That's what I thought.
All the stuff you see on Instagram and Facebook, all the meme images, they all originated from Reddit pretty much.
Well, so, even for that I have to go check it out then.
Exactly.
Well, we've got a video. It's inside of our Epic members area. We actually just rebranded to Epic, so I'm still getting in the habit of saying that.
Epic.
But, but we actually have, I'll link you to that video. I made a little video. It's like, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes long of all the cool stuff that we're seeing in Reddit.
I'll make a note for you. And that's you.
Yeah.
Yes, I would love to see that. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. So I'm curious because you have a podcast and I know you are always promoting the or at least trying to grow the show. What are some podcast marketing, maybe growth tactics that you use for your video podcast?
You know, so full disclosure, the way that I've helped clients with podcasts has not been the way that we've done it with ours, just because we know that we want to put some ad spend behind it and we haven't done that yet. Mm-hmm. But one thing that was super effective for clients of mine, because those are the ones that have had like amazing results. We're doing well, but like we're doing it mostly organic.
Yeah.
Is basically targeting the guest's audience and taking those repurposed assets, teasing them out, and just driving traffic to the original content.
Brilliant.
Their audiences are, you know, excited to see what they're saying, and you are awesome by association. So if you've got great content of somebody that they're already excited about and engaged in, then you're creating a new listener base based on somebody else's hard work. You know what I mean? So that's something that we did a lot. So what it was if, especially even if it's somebody big, it'd be like, hey, part of the pitch even to get them on the show would be, you know, you are promoting something cool. We will guarantee X amount of views on some piece of this episode to the audience of your choosing. Because generally speaking, if it's a guest that you're bringing on your show or you want to bring on your show, their audience is probably similar to an audience that you would like. So, we know that we'll get this in front of X amount of people, whatever that ad spend ends up looking like, you know, it is what it is. And then, it's basically just picking up brand new eyeballs that are already excited about the person who they're watching or listening to.
Now, when you say you target the like the guests, the followers of the guests, are you talking like from advertising perspective, or how are you targeting those people?
Yeah. So for that, I mean, this was at the time it was a lot of Facebook targeting. So it would be like if you have a Facebook targeting audience that you use consistently in your ads, like we will use that. So we would connect with like the marketing department and see what people they wanted that piece of content to be in front of. If they have something that already exists, we would go ahead and do that.
Gotcha.
Hmm. Cool. It's cool. Yeah, no, we do a lot of that with our podcast, with Facebook ads, just going to an audience. And you totally, like, I've been putting together ideas this whole time because, like, that War Room talk that we did, yeah. You totally clipped that out. And I'm like, oh, what do you know? You could target digital marketers' audience.
Very true.
Right, it's like,
oh,
right.
I'm pretty sure they're aware of War Room. And then they see us with Ryan Dice and talking about podcast marketing and yada, 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 and how we advise. And it's like, yeah, it's a pretty obvious use of repurposing right there.
Yes.
So thank you.
You got to increase that credibility.
Cool. Well, the last little rabbit hole I want to touch on is I want to talk about your sort of tools stack, because when it comes to repurposing, there's just a ton of badass tools out there right now to use. So I'm kind of curious what's your tool stack that you like to use for your various repurposing of assets?
Yeah, so we've been through a handful of them. I got, like I said earlier, I had a chance to test as many as I could just to see what would actually work with our model. So I kind of had a nice little insight onto how a lot of them work. Granted, this was a year ago, but currently we don't use it anymore, but Headliner is 100% mm-hmm. a great place. You can now do video, audio, long form, short. I mean, you can size it all the different sizes you want it to be. They've come a long way from where they were last year, and they're constantly creating new updates and making it more awesome. So that's, like, first and foremost, one of the coolest places to go and get started. Uh-huh. We use Rev. I mean, it's we need to make sure our captions are on point. And they have an AI version called Temi. So the AI is, it's like 10 cents a minute, but we do like our long form. So when we do the podcast episodes for the Content Coalition, we'll run that through Temi to do the whole transcription. And again, it's AI, but I'm like, I don't need that to be perfect. It's, you know, 30 minutes of content. Mm-hmm. So, but when we are doing captions for like the smaller, shorter clips, we'll run it through Rev and have an actual human. And one thing I learned about Rev, which was kind of cool, is if you have somebody who, does a great job on your captions, you can like 5-star them, and then they will, if they're available, consistently be assigned to your submissions. Yeah, I had a call with Rev as a case study because we use them so heavily. And she had mentioned that was something you could do. And she also said, like, if you have somebody who you have problems with, you can, you know, 1-star them and they won't be assigned to your stuff. And they actually get looked at by the Rev team to see if they're even a good fit for the platform anymore. Mm-hmm. But for me, being able to say, hey, this person's awesome, more of them, please, and that happens, was super, super exciting.
Heck yeah, because it gives you confidence that you're going to get a consistent product.
Right, so exactly. And for us, like with what we're doing at scale, to know that we don't have to like make a bunch of changes to captions because we trust that person to do it really well allows us to have like much better productivity. So that was really exciting to hear.
Rev's awesome. We've been using them for years and that's still like the best.
Yeah. When we want them to be perfect, we pretty much go to Rev. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we do use a lot of the automation stuff like Designer and Descript.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just, I mean, it's cost. So it just depends on, you know, how much you want to spend on it and how much time you have to go through and adjust the captions. So
if you're in
a hurry and it's super important to have everything done really, really well, then yeah, Rev is definitely the jam. You're just going to pay $1 a minute for it.
That's right. Yeah. And I mean, we release two episodes a week at a minimum of an hour each. So that's, you know, $120 minimum per week that we'd be spending on Rev. So we don't use Rev for every podcast, but we definitely use it for our shorter clips and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, Temi, again, is like that's their AI version. It's pretty good. It's not bad at all. I've used Google's, I've used a couple other ones, and Temi's is pretty good.
Yeah. I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I thought I read somewhere that the way Rev works is you upload the file, they do an automated transcription automatically, and then somebody from Rev goes and sort of cleans it up and polishes it off for you to make sure all the words are right to kind of save the Rev employees time. But I don't know if that's true. It's just something I heard at one time.
I have no idea. I should have asked when I was on that call.
We've talked to some other podcasts like host services and production, and they always say there's like it starts with AI transcriptions, then it goes through a couple passes of human. And maybe Rev, I guarantee that's how they can keep their costs down.
Oh, for sure.
And it's better quality, I would assume, at the end of the day anyway.
Yeah. So you got Headliner, you got Rev. Anything else that you're just got to tell everybody about that's just so cool right now?
Wave.video, again, I know we already talked about it, but it's so easy to use and just to like crank out really great text content because, you know, a lot of people don't know that they can do that with text and make it video and make it work on social media. So that platform is pretty cool. What else? One thing that a lot of people were asking about was like to be able to like make cuts and do like small editing things themselves mm-hmm. without having to dive into like Adobe and Premiere and Final Cut and all that stuff. DaVinci Resolve has a free version and it's really good. Hmm. And it like the capabilities on it were shockingly good for being a free platform. And it's done by the guys of Blackmagic. So for the video dorks who know who that is, like yeah. it's a video company. Like they create cameras and software and stuff like that. So if you're looking for just a tool that's better than iMovie and gives you more capabilities to play with, DaVinci Resolve is really good.
That is cool. I've heard of that, but I've never actually looked at it.
Like, yeah, and I mean, it's like I haven't dove into like the heavy like things that you can do in it because we obviously have real software. Mm-hmm. Not that yeah. this isn't real software, but you know what I mean? Like we use Adobe.
For sure.
But if you are looking to do things outside of just like really, really simple, you know, cuts and transitions, like you, what's cool is you can adjust sizes. So you can go in and change the aspect ratio of your video, which means you can make it tall for IGTV. You can make it square for feeds, you know, you can do landscape mm-hmm. obviously. So there's just a lot of cool things that you're able to do in it. And for us, like, at Repurpose House, like our staff doesn't have to be video editors because that's not really what we do. We take what's existing. So for us, it was important to have everybody on a platform that allow them to do everything that they need to do without having, you know, Premiere or those things because yeah. we have other team members who do that kind of stuff. So we landed on Resolve and it's been great.
That's badass. Yeah. How about for, I know you do use a ticketing system for all your project management and your clients. Do you have a good tool for that or are you kind of still kind of figuring that stuff out?
No, so that there's been two. The first one we used before we started to like crazy grow was mm-hmm. Jar HQ. It's actually owned by Russ Perry of Design Pickle.
Oh, so, nice.
yeah. It was basically his answer to help agencies be able to manage like tickets within their agencies. So uh-huh. That it's a really cool platform. It just had some limitations that we needed to get past when we started to scale. So we actually use Freshdesk now. I had to test so many platforms because so many of them are just meant to be like help desks.
Yeah.
And that's not what we really needed. We really needed it to be like a communication platform where you could submit like, because our ticket when you go to submit a ticket, you have a bunch of pre-filled forms. We make it super user-friendly. Like we need this thing. We need this one thing. We need your in and out points. We need a link to the audio or video. And like, it needs to be the same every single time. But also we needed like the capabilities of it to be able to be responded to through your email. And, and on the back end, we needed to be able to assign some things. And I test drove so many different platforms and Freshdesk by far was the best for what we needed. Like there were others that were like more robust for help desk scenarios, but that's not what we needed it for.
Yeah, no, that's great. Because I'm always curious to hear like how you're managing so many clients and you know, requests, like you said, what, probably daily clients. Yeah. So yeah, just that sheer amount of data to make sure you're on top of it is pretty important.
Yeah.
So, cool. And the cool thing about it was the front end, like the user end on it is really neat. So like you're able to have a little like help desk area where we put our articles and FAQs and things like that. And it's very simple. It's like, here are your existing tickets. And it shows the previous tickets that have, we actually, it's funny, whenever you submit a ticket, it's like awaiting the magic. So that means it's in queue. And then like you see what's actually being worked on and you can see like prior tickets. You can see tickets from like different team members that have been submitted. You can see all team, like just specific members. So it's like, it's really, really cool. It works well for agencies or like larger businesses who have multiple people managing their content for social.
Rad. Cool. Well, thanks for sharing all those. Those are super helpful. Let's wrap it up, I think. We're at the hour mark, and this is, unless you got anything else, man.
No, I'm good.
Sweet. So we always ask, is there a book or something that just resonated with you that you just go back to often or you just refer to others and you're like, dude, you gotta read this?
You know, the book that I'm like, it's not even a book, so I'm totally cheating. I really apologize.
That's all right.
But I am in love with Living Your Best Year Ever by Darren Hardy. Like, do you have the Libby Journal?
No, I'm ashamed to say because he's in one of our masterminds.
Yeah, we have a mastermind group with Darren, and we're on his like daily email list, the Daily Darren. But
whoopsie. Well,
when you see him, give him a high five for me because it's really cool. So basically, what it is it breaks down your yearly goals and it turns them into like manageable bites. So it goes from like you initially when you go through the first half of the book, it's like you've got your what your last year was like, what you did great, what you could have done better. And then you dive into planning out your next year. So it's your three main pillar goals of like, here are the three awesome things I want to make happen in work, life, relationships, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it breaks it down into quarterly, monthly, and then daily. And then what I love is it works really, really well with an accountability partner. It does mm-hmm. not work for me so well if I don't have somebody being like, no excuse is necessary. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really easy to be like, I didn't get this done because X, Y, or Z. When the other person's like, no, that doesn't work. So, but it's got a rhythm register, which is cool. So you break down like habits that you want to form that will bring you to the successful place that you want to be at. And so like for me, like working out's on there and like, you know, I want to do that 5 times per week. And then it literally has a slot for every single day. You got to check it off. And then you compare your scores at like the end of the week and the month. It's pretty brutal, but it definitely... It's changed my life since I started doing it about a year and a half ago.
Wow. And that's living your best day ever. Is that what it's called?
Living your best year ever.
Oh, year. Sorry.
Yeah.
Awesome. That sounds amazing because, I would need an accountability partner for sure. But Matt, that's why you're here. So cool.
Boom. Instant accountability.
Done. Awesome, Shane. All right. So we mentioned a lot of places. Where should folks go to explore further?
Yeah, just hit up repurposehouse.com. It's like we tried to break it down as simply as how the platform works or the service works. And then on all the social media platforms, the business is Repurpose House Co. And then I'm Shaina Weisinger, Shaina Weisinger on like the LinkedIns and, you know, the Facebooks and all of those. So
all the awesome. Fun channels.
Sweet. All those.
Shaina, you're awesome. Thank you so much
for being
super open. All right.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.
Go get it.
Wiki.